mouth to proclaim the acceptable day of the Lord. Father, get me out of your way, Lord, that your word could be heard. I thank you for those things in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Over the last several weeks, I've been teaching a series, and y'all are coming in on the end of the series, but the series was simply this. It was the rise of the little horn. What we see in Daniel chapter 7, he saw off in the distance that there would be nations rising up and nations falling down. And he saw in those 10 nations that there would be one rising up that had the ability, the power to pluck three of them up by the roots. And he was there and he was boasting great things. He was speaking great things against the Most High God. Mm-hmm. He saw the rising. I don't think he understood what he was seeing. I've read those scriptures and that passage of scripture all of my life, but I never really understood it until now. Now we're in the season of the little horn rising. We're seeing things that are happening on the globe in a massive scale that we've never seen before. Up until this generation, I never understood how easy it would be to get people to separate.
Amen.
I never understood how easy it would be to actually mark every single human being on the face of the earth. But we're seeing that now. I knew that the technology was here, you know, that we could do these kind of things, but I really didn't know how easy it was going to be to get the church to hide in the closet.
Right.
I didn't see it. I knew it was coming, but I didn't see it. Well, now I see it. So what do? That's what we're going to be talking about today. Amen?
Amen.
Because Jesus is searching for people filled with the Holy Spirit and not afraid of the gospel.
Amen.
Not ashamed of the gospel. Knowing the power of the gospel and willing to explain and express the acceptable day of the Lord. And guess what day you're in? The acceptable day of the Lord. Here you are. Here you are. And we're closer to the end, or actually we're closer to the beginning than what we think. Because after this time there's a new beginning, there's a new heaven, there's a new earth. We got a lot of stuff to look forward to. Amen?
Amen.
We have salvation. We have our hope in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And we'll be going over Matthew chapter 24 and some other scriptures today. But as I was going into some study this week, and I was going to teach on the kingdom parables and all that kind of stuff, which I'll touch on that. But the Lord showed me this one little space right here in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 45. And Jesus asked, "Who then is a faithful servant?" Ask yourself that. Who then is a faithful servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? I said, wow. Jesus, what are you saying here? As the Lord started unwrapping this in my mind, and we'll get to the rest of it in a minute, but this was the hook that the Holy Spirit used on me. I'll answer that for you.
Sorry.
That's okay. Folks, I do that all the time. Folks, when your phone rings, I want to talk to the person. Okay, because I'm going to invite them to church. I don't know where you're calling from, but your brother, your partner that you're talking to, he's at church, and he wants you to come be with him. And so anyhow, I'm sorry, I digress. Let's get back to the scripture. As I was going through the things that Jesus was talking about in the end times, he came with this question in my heart and my mind. Who then is a faithful and wise servant? Who is the faithful and the wise servant? Ask yourself that. Do you consider yourself a faithful and wise servant? Because there are some criteria that we need to hold on to. There's some things in the Word of God that show us who is good and faithful. All right, we're going to look into some of that. He gives it after that. He says, "Whom the Lord hath made ruler over his household, and to give them meat in due season." And this is where my heart started breaking for pastors. The second part of this verse, because who's supposed to give meat to the church? The pastors are. All right? And my heart is breaking for the lack of pastors.
Amen.
Brave pastors. And I know, I love your pastor. I'm not putting you down. All right? I'm not saying anything like that. I don't know where he's at, you know, but I pray that he would grow with faith.
Amen.
That he would get some courage, that he would be able to stand against the times that we're in, and that he would feed his flock, because you belong there. I mean, praise God, I love that you're here. Don't get me wrong when I say this, and I love that y'all all stayed, but God has called you into a body of believers, right? He's already got you positioned in a place. And that place is where God wants to use you and use you immensely. And God has called those people to be the rulers over his household, that they should give meat in due season. And Jesus said in verse 46, blessed is that servant whom the Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. That pastor who will stand in the midst of adversity, God says, he will be called blessed.
Amen.
Amen? You'll be called blessed. And you people, you folks, right? You belong to that body of Christ. Encourage your pastor with these words. All right? Tell him it has gone this far and this is far enough. We want the church back.
Amen.
All right? We want the church back. And I can tell that there's a real hunger and thirst for the Word of God going out across the New York, anyhow. I can't say the whole world, but New York, because I see so many people. I talk to so many people, and they say, I don't understand where my pastor is. I don't understand what happened. We were meeting one day, and all of a sudden we started wearing masks and meeting in the parking lot or meeting somewhere else and not able to go into the building that God has provided for us. It's time, church. It's time.
Amen.
Amen. And we need to know a couple things about this. And so we won't talk about the evil servant just yet. Okay? I want you to know this, that Jesus talked about a couple things just before that. He talked about the parable of the olive tree in 24 and 32 through 35. He talks about this parable. 32 says, now learn the parable of the fig tree. When its branch was yet tender, it puts forth leaves. You know that summer is nigh. When you see the fig tree starting to grow, you know that it's almost time. People, the fig tree started growing May of 1948. All right? There has been leaves growing on that tree, that bush, ever since then. I want you to know that the harvest time is real soon. All right? He said, so, verse 33, so likewise ye, you, everybody, when you see these things, know that that it is near, even at the door. Verily I say unto you that this generation shall not pass away till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Jesus is saying, when you see Israel coming into their own land, where he starts to make the desert bloom like a flower, when you see these things happening, the generation that sees that, they're not going to pass away until all of it's fulfilled. All right? I'm not trying to put a time on when Jesus comes, because he says in the next couple of verses, no man knows the day, no man knows the hour, right? Only the Father. But I can tell you, I can see things that are happening. And I think if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you see things that are happening. All right? You're seeing the Antichrist. You're seeing that little horn rise up. You're seeing how fast it took that one itty-bitty, microscopic, invisible little germ to shut the world down. Right? 4 days. 4 days. It took 4 days for the economy of the world to shut its door. And now they're coming up with a vaccine. I don't know if y'all read it today or not, but your smartphones are going to tell on you.
Yeah.
Right? They are. I just read it today that Google and Apple and the Android devices, they're coming together and they're making an app that hasn't gone live yet, but they're in the works of it. They're prepared for it. They're waiting for the get ready, set, go date. And on that go date, my smartphone will talk to your smartphone 4 feet away and tell me if you've been vaccinated or not. All right, now think about this in the light of Revelation chapter 13, verses 5 and verses further on, where it talks about the mark of the beast. You won't be able to sell, trade, or buy without the mark of the beast, without this little chip. Last week I talked about a very little known thing called the quantum dot tattooing. Look it up. I'm not going to get into it today, all right? Look it up. The new vaccine is going to be put out in mass by this. And we need to be prepared for the times that we're living in. Because if you don't get ready today, when it comes, you'll be swept away.
Amen.
All right? So, I try real hard to encourage the body to be ready for the persecution, to be ready for the hard times to come. You won't find much fluffernut. What do you call it?
Rainbows and unicorns.
I don't preach very many rainbows and unicorns here. Okay, I try real hard not to get into all the fluffernut stuff. We need meat, amen. We need the Word of God, and we need to know how to stand as these days approach. And Jesus said, "Know this: that as you see these things coming, that generation will not pass away until all these things will be fulfilled. So get ready." Because that generation is old, all right? Folks born in 1948, I'm not good at math, but you're more than 12,
70.
Right? How many?
70.
70.
And, 71.
Okay, there's somebody better in math than him. So anyhow, you're coming to the end of that generation, right? A generation is 70 plus 10. So, and I'm not trying to put parameters on this. I'm just telling you what I see happening and how we as the body of Christ needs to be prepared for it. Jesus said in the next couple of verses that no man knows the day, no man knows the hour, but as it was in the days of Noah, that's what it's going to look like. All right? Men were giving and taking in marriage. They were living life. They were going around like nothing, que sera, sera, just another day in the salt mine. And that's what we're seeing today. Another thing that happened in Noah's day, remember the sons of God came and they started having relationships, sexual relationships with the daughters of men because to them they were beautiful. And from those relationships there was a new group of humans that were being, or half humans that were being born. The Nephilim, right? Or the men of renown in their day. So you are seeing those creatures coming up, and they were giants in those days. Jesus said it would be like that when he comes back. And you're saying, well, I don't see any Nephilim today. I don't see giants today. But look around what the vaccines are doing to the human race. Look around what the food modification, was that?
GMO.
I had the letters backwards in my head. OMG. Yeah. Look at what the OMGs are doing. The GMOs are doing. Right? And remember when they came into existence in 1970. That's when they first started messing with the genome of the crops. From 1970 to 1975, cancers were kind of at a flat line. 1975, 5 years after they started messing with the food things, it shot up extraordinary. It went way out. All right, and now we're in a generation where we have the technobabble to number and mark and identify every human on the face of the earth. Never before have we been able to do this. The technology was never available until now. Good for us. Amen?
Yeah.
Good for us. This is an exciting time for the church.
Yes.
You know what it tells me? That we ain't far from the end.
Yes.
Amen? It tells me that I need to look up because my redemption is drawing nigh. It tells me to be excited about today because I might not have tomorrow. It tells me that there's going to be a falling away, right? That the son of perdition might be revealed. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. And he says that there'll be a falling away first, and he who letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Those who are born again, you are the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, right? And so we're going to withstand until we be taken out of the way. When you refuse to take this vaccine, when you refuse to take this nanotechnology, when you do that, they're going to mark you, and your cell phones are going to tell on you, right? They're going to mark you and say, you're unclean, you're unfit, you're not vaccinated, you can't come into my store without a mask on. We see that right now. This is a prelude of the things that are coming. So, folks, we need to be awake because the time is drawing close. All right? Now, I might not be perfectly right about all this kind of stuff, but the Word of God is perfectly right about all this kind of stuff. I might have some of the technobabble messed up because I don't understand that. I still write with a pen and ink for my sermons, right? All my words are misspelled. I don't use silent letters. All right? So nothing is right here. If you're an English major and you look at my stuff, you're going to say, this guy's a nut. You'd be right. Amen? But God. All right? But God. We know that we're in the last of the last of days, and that Jesus said that these things will happen, but we need to be prepared for them. As we finish back in 24 and 45, and I'll start at the beginning and work my way all the way through this time, if you don't mind. Chapter 24 and verse 45. Who then is a faithful and a wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and to drink with the drunkards, the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour when he is not aware of it, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Okay, don't get mad at me. I'm just the messenger. All right? But I want you to know something. You need to encourage your pastors, because I'm scared for them because of this scripture.
Yes, sir.
All right? I'm scared for them, and I'm not doubting their salvation. I'm not doing anything like that. But Jesus said the pastors are supposed to be teaching their flocks, and if they're not doing it because they don't think Jesus is coming back anytime soon, chill out, I'll do what I want to. That pastor is in grave danger. They're in danger. And I love them, and I don't want to see them where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. What I would like to see is those pastors open up their doors and welcome the body of Christ back into the building, that we can worship together the way it was meant to be.
Amen.
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 I worry about those pastors. Jesus then talks about several of their parable. He talks about the 10 virgins and he talks about the talents. Are y'all familiar with those, or do I need to go over them?
Great job.
We only got a short bit of time here. But anyhow, the 10 virgins, you know, there's 5 that are wise and 5 that are foolish.
Yep.
5 that had their lamps prepared, plenty of oil, and when the bridegroom came and the trumpet sounded, they were prepared to go. 5 of them weren't so ready. Why weren't they ready? Where was their pastor? Where was their support? Where was the edification of the body of Christ? Where was the Christian that should have been in church right beside them saying, come on, let's get your oil filled. I can tell you're running a little low.
Amen.
Right? Now, where are those people? Well, praise God, most of them are here today. Amen. Right? But you need to take this and you need to encourage those who aren't coming. You need to encourage them that we're closer to the end than we are the beginning. We're at that time, and we need to encourage everybody who is born again, trust Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that He's coming and you will give an account. Amen. He goes on after that about the talents. There's 2-3 men, right? Servants. How do you become a servant of God?
Trust and obey.
You must be born again or you cannot be a servant of God.
Amen.
Right? And so he's talking to these 3 servants, and he comes, and I'm going to give you some talents, and I'm going to give you some talents. Talents is a form of money, and it's a lot of it. I'm not going to get into the math just because of time. All right, but it's a lot of money. He gives you this huge amount of wealth, and then he goes off to a far country. And then he comes back. Do you know that our master's coming back?
Amen.
Amen. Do you know that He gave you some talents? He gave you some stuff and something to work with? And He only gave you to your abilities, not my abilities. Amen? And He gave you those things, and He gave your pastors those things, He gave your deacons those things, He gave your teachers those things, the people where the body that you belong to, that those tools are there. And Jesus is coming back and He's going to say, how did you invest what I gave you? Mm-hmm. Well, we were going good until the virus came. When the virus came, we all got scared and ran away. Beware, people. I don't know when Jesus is coming back. But when He comes back, they are going to have to give an account. If you are a teacher, you're held to a higher accountability than anybody else. All right? And when you're too afraid to proclaim the acceptable day of the Lord, when the virus comes, or when the government tells you you can't go to church, woe to those unprofitable shepherds.
Right.
Encourage your pastors to face persecution. We got to be willing not just to say it, we got to be willing to do it.
Amen.
We got to be willing to stand like the real men of God did.
Amen.
And they're marked throughout history. You look through the Word of God, you can find them all over the place. There were those who believed enough to make a stand. Even when Nebuchadnezzar said, I'm going to heat up that fiery furnace 7 times hotter than it's ever been. You better fall down and worship me. 3 men said, bite me. All right? I ain't doing it. I ain't doing it. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to bend my knee to the authorities. Because you are against what my God says. I will worship one true God. I'm going to worship Him.
Amen.
Not with part of me, but with all of me. And even if He does not rescue me, even if He doesn't bring me out of it, I'm going to die in faith because of it.
Amen.
Hello.
Amen.
Amen. That's all right. I love you anyhow. So, that's the prince of the power of the air. You see how that works?
Mm-hmm.
Right? I was on a roll and somebody slid me right off of it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's not your fault. And so, anyhow, we need to be prepared.
Right.
2 Timothy 2, 12 and 13. Let me see if I can pull this out. Yea, all that will live godly in Christ shall suffer. Did you hear what he said?
Yeah.
All that will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So there's a spirit that is here now.
Right.
And it's waxing worse and worse. You turn on CNN, ain't nothing getting better. If you're turning on CNN, I say take a baseball bat to that demon in your house, beat the cable out of him, and throw him out. All
right? Yeah.
We say that we don't have idols in America. I know so many Christians with a 62-inch idol in their living room. All
right?
Christians. And I ain't against TV. I mean, we have a TV at one, and it's a huge one. I think it's 25 inches or something like that. And when the day is over and I'm about ready to fall asleep, I turn it on and I watch stupid shows, just like y'all do. So I'm not standing on a high rock throwing stones at anybody, right? I'm in the same mess as you guys are. So I don't want you to think that he said that. He must know. I'm a sinner saved by grace. All right? And I pray that you guys are also. But the people, the deceivers, they're going to grow worse and worse. It's going to become harder and harder and harder to stand for righteousness. Especially if you don't prepare before the storm comes. Right? Jesus told this parable about two builders who build houses, right? And one digs down to the foundation, to the solid rock. And he builds his house. And another man, he just builds his house on the shifting sands of life. The storm comes. It's the same storm. They're neighbors.
Amen.
The same storm comes. And it blows, it beats upon the house mightily. The house is getting all tore up. Well, one is and one isn't. It's the one who got prepared before the storm came.
Amen.
In church, ecclesia, those who are born again washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, it is time that we dig down past our religious understanding and get back to the relationship of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. There's a relationship that's more important than all of the other stuff going on. And the just, you're going to live by faith. Everybody else is going to live by their sight. I'm telling you, what you're seeing is not real.
Amen.
Okay, we have a reality that's coming.
Amen.
Right? We have a reality in and through Jesus Christ. And that wise and faithful servant, whom the Lord shall find doing, right? Wait a second. The wise and faithful servant, what's happening? He's living by faith. He's
Amen.
Doing what he was called to do.
Amen.
He's not hiding behind masks. He's not hiding in the basement. He's not talking to you on Facebook or Facebook Live. He's not tweeting to you. Tweet, that's what a bird does. Okay? And if you see me in Facebook, this is the book I'm facing. All right? This is my Facebook. All right? And if more churches, if more believers in Jesus Christ would have their face buried here and not in their stupid smartphones.
Amen.
Smartphones make dumb people.
Yeah. Amen.
All right? And if we have faith in Jesus Christ, we'll be focusing on the things that matter, not on the things that are temporal. We just went over that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 today. You know, that persecution's coming, all right? That things are going to get nasty and worse here. Jesus taught about these things all the way through. Later, after the talents, Jesus talks about separating the sheep and the goats. That's in Matthew 25 and 34. And the king shall say to those on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. When was the kingdom prepared? Long before you were born. Amen. Long before you were thought of. God thought of you before your mom and dad, your uncle and aunt. Before anybody thought of you, Jesus had you on his mind. And he was preparing a place for you, anybody who would believe in him, anybody who would trust in him, anybody who would lean into him more than what they would lean into the world, he's got a spot for you. He prepared for you a kingdom, a place, from the foundations of the world. Verse 35 of chapter 25 of Matthew. 35 says, when I was hungry, you gave me meat. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was a stranger, you took me in. When I was naked, you clothed me, and sick, and you visited me. When I was in prison, you came unto me. And they asked, when did we do this? And Jesus said, when you have done it to the least of these, you've done it also unto me. So who then is the faithful and wise servant? If you take these parables, you boil them down to just one word, which I tried to do. The faithful servant is those who are providing the meat. There's a time you're providing the meat, you know, for the body of Christ. You're feeding them with what you can. The other is that the good, the wise, and the faithful servant has their lamp prepared. Because you don't know when the bridegroom's coming. You don't know. So be ready.
Amen.
Today, right now, if your lamp is a little bit low on oil, fill it up.
Amen.
All right? Fill it up. If you need a new wick, time to get your new wick today, all right? It's time to get ready. Get ready because Jesus is coming. There's a kingdom prepared for you. Are you prepared for the kingdom? That'd be a better question. And so you need to have your lamp ready. You need to be providing meat. You need to be serving.
That's right.
Serving.
Amen. Right.
Where are the servants? And anybody who comes here knows that I don't consider myself a pastor. I'm a sheepdog. All right? I have a good shepherd. All right? Pastors where the sheep eat. Sheepdog is what runs around and nips at the sheep's feet. Tries to get them going in the right direction. My job is kind of to lead you away from danger and into safety. All right? My job is to stand when the wolves come and lay my life down that you might be free. That's what the sheepdog does. And when the shepherd whistles, the sheepdog runs. And I watched that over at a Genesee Country Museum last year. Have y'all ever been there and seen that?
Yeah.
Isn't that so cool? That shepherd, he stands there leaning on his staff, and he goes, tweet, tweet. He whistles, I'd whistle for you, but I'm kind of dry right now. I'm spitting dust. But anyhow, so he whistles, he makes his motion toward the sheepdog. That sheepdog runs in down into the room, right into those sheep, and he cuts them to the right, and he divides one out, and there's one sheep with a big old purple spot on him. That shepherd, he whistles, and that dog runs out there, and he shuts out that one sheep. And he pulls. But that dog was just doing what the shepherd told him to.
Amen.
And the sheep didn't like the dog. Right? So sheep don't like the dog. Right? So just let you know, I'm not here to be your friend. I love you. I'll lay my life down for you. I'll give you the direction that God gives me to give you. But if you like me or not, that don't matter. Okay? It don't matter. I love God. I follow God. Right? And then God tells me where to go. In the next couple things that we're going to look at, we're going to be looking at who's invested and who are not afraid. And this is found in the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 3. Now, this year we're going to be looking at Hannah, Mishael, and Ezra. Y'all know who those are?
Yep.
All right, praise God. Y'all are Bible. I knew that you were. I knew that you knew if I said those words, you wouldn't think of the Babylonian names for those three wise guys. Right? Amen. I like their Hebrew names. All right? Because that's what God gave them. Amen. And so anyhow, those three guys.
Daniel.
It's coming to a time. But Daniel chapter 3, verse 16. And so talking about these three guys and how they stood against the leader, the king. We're not talking about Cuomo or little nobody. We're talking about the king of the land. All right? And said to the king, those three guys said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. All right? Listen, I don't care what you think, king. I ain't scared of you. I am not afraid. I'm not going to be careful. I'm not going to watch my words when I say this to you. All right? That's what they said. If it be our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, right, are you at that spot? But if not, I know God's able to deliver me, but if not, all right? He says, but if not, know it unto thee, O king, we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Listen, Cuomo, World Health Organization, President Trump. Now, I love President Trump. I plan on voting on him next go around. All right? So I'm not saying anything bad against him. But if he tells me I must do this, I am not, because I trust God's word.
Amen.
I'm not worried if he says I'm getting the military all geared up. Y'all heard that last week?
Yeah.
He says I'm getting the military geared up to help with this back tracing of vaccines and all that kind of stuff. I don't care. I'm not taking it. I'm not, and we need to set that in our mind before the battle comes. You need to be grounded in the truth of God's word before the fight comes. You know why the army sends you into basic training before they send you into battle? So you'll know how to handle your weapon properly. So that you'll know how to handle the adversity. That you'll know how to handle whatever comes. They prepare you for the fight. Amen? This is time. We as the body of Christ need to be prepared for the fight. Because if you go into battle unprepared, you will die. Right? Woe to that unprofitable servant that doesn't give meat in due time. Jesus said, listen, in Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 12, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Woo, man! Are you happy, joyful are you when you're persecuted? persecuted for righteousness' sake. Have you ever thought of that?
Yes, sir.
Yay, I'm going to jail for preaching the gospel. Praise God. Hey, they're coming to take me away. Oh, they're coming to take me away. It's okay. I own free meals. I belong in the funny farm. Right? Because I believe in Jesus the Christ.
Amen.
I believe in His soon return. I believe in His resurrection power. I believe that I'm going to be persecuted and I need to be prepared before it comes.
Yes, amen.
Amen? Cliffhanger. Because I really want to get to communion. Because Jesus said, do this until my return.
Right.
All right? Do this until my return. He also, Paul wrote us that we need to examine ourselves.
Amen.
All right? We need to check. You need to know for sure if you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And if you have and you're living in sin at this moment, this is your time to repent.
Amen.
This is your time to back up and get it right.
Amen.
Because you take the communion wrongfully or with a wrong spirit, many folks were asleep and many folks were sick because they abused the promise of the coming of the Lord and taking of the communion. And you may not believe me, so I'll go to the Bible. Amen. So Corinthians. Oh, I'm in 2 Corinthians. That's why it didn't look right. Okay, it's not 11, it's 12. Starting in verse 27, then we'll get back to the communion. George, while I'm reading this, Mike, will y'all pass out the communion and make sure that you get to the... Make sure you get to the teachers in the back room also. Paul said, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 27. But let a man, or each man, let a man examine himself, so let him eat that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if you would judge yourselves, we should not be judged. All right? Did you see what Paul wrote to the church? It's time for you to examine yourself. I want you to take just a few minutes right now. If you know that you're living in open sin, repent. Right? This is the time to get it right. Before you take the cup, before you take the bread, examine yourself. Don't tell me about it. Ain't none of my business. Don't tell your neighbor about it. Ain't none of their business. Tell the Lord Jesus about it. Right? You tell the Lord Jesus about it. Say, God, I'm sorry. I've sinned against the Most High God. I need forgiveness. The Bible tells us that if we say we have not sinned, we are liars. And the truth is not in us. But if we sin, I don't like if, but when we sin, the Bible says if we sin, but when we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Amen? And if we will confess our sin, He is faithful and He's just to forgive us that sin. Right? So if you're living in sin, it's time to get right.
Amen.
If you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, let me tell you how to do it. Now, I don't say pray after me because I don't see that pictured in the Word of God. All right? But I will... Oh, I got one up here already. Thank you, brother. But I will tell you... Did you get to the classrooms in the back? Thank you. Classroom. It's not rooms. Singular. And so anyhow, the way... to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. First, understand that you're a sinner. Who here knows that they're a sinner?
Amen.
All right, everybody standing, come short of the glory of God, you're a good contestant. Amen. If you can understand that you have sinned and come short of the glory of God, have you ever tried to save yourself? Try to be good enough? All right, you're not good enough, you don't have good works. So you understand that you're a sinner and you cannot save yourself. Thus you need a Savior.
Amen.
And we know that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So you need somebody who is a human that has faced all of the temptations that you have faced and yet without sin. So first understand that you can't do it on your own, that you have a problem you can't cure. Understand that there God so loved the world that He gave the answer. Jesus, His position is Christ. Jesus, the Christ. Yeshua, Mashiach. Jesus, the Messiah. That one. He was tempted in every way, just like us, and yet without sin.
Amen.
And if I can believe that and ask Him to cleanse me of my sin, He is faithful and just to do that.
Amen,
understand who you are. Understand who He is. Understand your need for Him and ask Him.
Amen.
If you will ask and believe, confess with your mouth, and you shall be saved. Amen? All you got to do is ask Him. And if you ask Him, He will meet you there.
Amen.
And I don't care where there is. God met me as a drunkard, drug addict, adulterer. Alright? That's where God met me. And He saved me. And He cleansed me. And He gave me a new heart. Amen? And if He can save a rat like me, He can save you.
Amen?
All you got to do is ask. If you'll ask, you'll be accepted. If you believe, you can be accepted. So before we get into the communion, I want you to check yourself. Examine yourself. Let's go to the Lord in prayer real quick. Father, I thank You so much. Lord, if there be one out there this very moment that doesn't know You as their Lord and Savior, I pray that You would move over them and show them Your infinite mercy and grace. Father, that they can know, that they can know that they have salvation in You. Father, touch their heart and call them. Lord, if there be one who calls himself a child of the Most High God, a Christian, and they're living in open sin, unrepentant sin, Father, break their heart that they would know You, that they would understand the forgiveness and the grace that You have for them, and set them free. Lord, that they can walk upright with You in this time. We ask those things in Jesus' name. Now, verse 23 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11 says, "For as I received of the Lord, which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord, that same night which He was betrayed, He took bread, and He gave thanks, and He brake it, and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And so as we remember the sacrifice that Jesus made for us, if you don't have your little wafer out, take your little wafer. Let's pull it together. Jesus, I thank You so much that You went to the cross for me. That Your body was broken, that You were striped for my iniquity. I thank You, Lord God, that You prayed in the garden, not my will be done, but Your will be done. And You became sin to cleanse the sinner. I thank You for that, Father. And as we do this until He comes, He also took the cup. For after the same manner, also He took the cup. And when He had supped, "This is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Jesus says, we remember what You did on the cross for us, as You poured out Your blood for us, as You opened up the new and perfect way, as You made an end to all animal sacrifices, Lord God, that You came as the perfect Lamb of God and You dropped Your blood for my sin. I remember that. God, and I thank you for it.
Amen.
And as we take the cup, we remember what he has done for us, the way that he loved us, and the way that he set us free. Let's take the cup together. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for the forgiveness of sin. Thank you. Thank you, Lord God, for your holiness and for your righteousness. I pray for the saints. God, I ask that you would move over these people, your people, that you would give them faith in the face of adversity. Lord, that we would be ready for the person, whatever comes, Lord God. That we would be ready for you more than anything else. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for those things. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
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 Praise God. We love you. Go home. Chill out. Hang around. Whatever.